Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Reaction Monday. A lot of you have weighed in about the Titans and being 0-3. We want to say hello now to John McClain, who joins us on the program and get his thoughts on all of this. And John, of course, is brought to you by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, it's not good down in Houston right now with the Texans, but I think it might be a little worse here. If you're gauging 0-3s, but not good for the Titans right now. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. First of all, the Texans are 0-3. Everybody wants D'Amico Ryans fired. They want their new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, fired. They want their offensive line coach fired because the Texans have the same problems they had last year. Their offense has been awful. And be that as they scored the fewest points in the NFL, fewer than the Titans. As bad as the Titans have been, they are the first team in 20 years to lose three games and give up 55 or fewer points. They lost the first game at L.A., 14-9. They had the ball on the 17 of the Rams, and a running back fumbled. Game over. They came back here, scored a touchdown. They had a five-point lead on Tampa Bay with 2:04 left. Lost that one when Baker Mayfield pulled another miracle with 6 seconds left. And then Sunday they played at Jacksonville. Jacksonville did everything they could to give that game away to them because Jaguars aren't very good. And the Texans had Nico Collins fumble, second time in his career. And then at the end of the game, they threw a ball to the 4-yard line to Christian Kirk that would have tied the score. But their rookie left tackle, Ariante Ursery, got abused all day by Josh Hines-Allen, and he hit Stroud's arm, interception, game over. So they've lost close games that came down to the end. The people here are livid because they thought they had a chance to win a third division. Here's the Colts have scored more points than any Colts team in history, and that includes Johnny Unitas, Burt Jones, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and that's Daniel Jones doing it. And then here's the Titans, and I've been asked today which team this game means the most to. Well, the Texans haven't given up on the playoffs because they had a season here where they started 0-3, won 9 in a row, finished 11-5. That was in 2018, but that was a miracle. That offense was good. This offense is terrible because the offensive line is terrible again. And D'Amico Ryans is not coaching for his job. And as you guys know, Amy Adams shrunk like her daddy Bud. They don't want to lose to the Texans. And they've been losing to the Texans, and they're coming here. And I remember Bill O'Brien was fired in 2020. After an 0-4 start. And I saw a list the other day of coaches fired after 4 games. And I don't know why it was after 4. Maybe because it used to be the quarter of the season when they played 16. But I'm guessing if the Texans win, there's a good chance Brian Callahan will be fired and replaced by Mike McCoy next week before Mike Vrabel comes to town. So anyway, we've got a battle between two winless teams, and nobody gives a damn outside Houston and Nashville.
John, you know the days of the end of the Oilers in Houston and moving to Nashville and then the Texans coming to the league. I mean, Bud Adams, it was pretty well known in that building that, you know, you're not going to go lose to the Houston Texans. You got to take care of business. And I feel like that has pretty much stood with Amy in charge now. So, even though it looks like Brian Callahan's a dead man walking, do you think that might be it? If they go down to Houston and fall to the Texans, that's ultimately just going to be the excuse she uses to go ahead and do it, even though I don't know what good anything really does at this point, the team's so bad.
I think that if the Titans were 0-4 and they had been playing well and losing close games, and it was just a matter of not having the talent. But when you have incompetence in coaching like they have had, and she talks to Brinker and Gonzi and those guys, and they didn't hire him. and Ryan Cawthorn hired. So that's another thing that Brian Callahan has to worry about. And if you do fire him, do you fire his dad, who's the assistant line coach? And so that would require significant moves. And would it move the needle? Who knows? But I don't think you'd be running into situations like you run in late in the first half. What is it, two games out of three? And you'd be having all those kind of – it's a coach has to know the rules. A coach has to set a great example in the meeting rooms when he's talking to the players, when he's talking to the media, and when he's standing on that sideline, that he's a leader, and they know to follow him. And right now, you know, what are people, what do they think? I mean, I'm covering the Texans, but I'm looking at all the tweets. And of all the tweets I saw, Joe's were the worst and funniest. I tried to, you're welcome. I tried to look at everybody up there that I respect to see what they were saying. And it was, you know, it was kind of like a party. And because it was unanimous, no defense. And Amy Adams Strunk knows this. Now, I do think she's not going to walk in there and fire him if Chad Brinker and Bagonzi say, we think you should give him more time, and here's why. And if she says, well, what about this, and this, when it comes to not knowing rules, that I think the end of the first half, I've been covering the NFL now 49 years, and I've never seen it. I'm not saying it hadn't happened. I'm just saying I've never seen it, and that's a bad look. You want a team coming off the first pick of the draft to be showing some kind of promise, some kind of improvement where you can go, aha, that's where that looks good. It doesn't cost any money to play hard. It doesn't cost any money to stand up and be leaders and not run out of the locker room like cowards afterwards so you didn't have to talk to the people that pay the freight. Anytime you leave, you don't talk to the media. You're thumbing your nose at the people who buy the tickets, the people who pay your salaries. And a commendation and respect to the guys that stayed in there and answered the tough questions.
Amen on that. Talking to John McClain on the Chasing McJoe Show. John, we expected the Titans to be 0-3. Did you expect the Texans right now to be 0-3? Not just 0-3, but to be last in the league in scoring.
Well, of course I thought that. Joe, you must not have been listening when I told y'all they're going to start 0-3 and have fewer points than any team in the league. Of course, nobody thought that. What's the most frustrating here, why everybody's going ballistic, is the same problems that killed them last year. And they were 10-7 and killed the Chargers in the playoffs before losing by 9 at Kansas City, despite having terrible pass protection. And so they changed all the offensive line, got a new offensive line coach. And it's not just them. Running backs picking up the wrong guy. The guy's blitzing clear. He's definitely got to try to pick the guy up. Steady goes on a pass route. Boom, Stroud gets killed. Or if you stay in and here comes a blitzer and he knocks you on your butt. So, no, we all thought they would be better, and they actually might be worse when it comes to pass protection. And they missed Joe Mixon, their leading rusher, big time. He went into the witness protection program at some point in the offseason. We haven't seen him. We don't know what's happened to him. Nobody will tell anybody. Schefter can't find out. Rappaport can't find out. Nobody here can find out what happened to Joe Mixon. It's like Matt Lauer when he used to be on NBC, and they'd say, where in the world is Matt Lauer? Oh, he's in Istanbul. Well, maybe that's where Joe Mixon is, Istanbul.
John, what's the relationship between the McNairs and the Adamses?
Well, I don't think there is a relationship. I don't think that they like each other. I think that was born in the Texans when Bud did not get the stadium he wanted here, and people basically ran him out of town. Then Bob McNair got the stadium pretty easy. that Bud didn't get. There's natural animosity. And it's not on the field because these two teams have never been good enough at the same time, or when they've both been bad, you know, who cares? They're not playing for the playoffs. They're not playing for the Super Bowl like, say, the Rangers and Astros do, and they absolutely hate each other. But that's the teams. So I think the animosity has to do with the colors, the uniforms. And I know Hannah McNair's taken some veiled shots at the Titans, and I haven't seen Amy do that. But
well, she doesn't talk, so she would have to talk to be able to take shots at people.
So I think that that there's a not – you can't say it's a bad relationship. It's a no relationship.
I do want to ask you, Mike Keith was put in the Ring of Honor yesterday, and she didn't. She was there. She didn't talk at that, but I thought it was a nice honor for him and naming the broadcast booth after him, because he truly was a very important piece, especially the early days that they were here in Nashville.
Yeah, Mike was a first-class act when he came from Knoxville before he went back, and I'm guessing the cheering for him was louder than it ordinarily would have been because people are so frustrated with the team. And I heard poor old Burt Nihil got booed. And those things are set up way in advance about who's going to talk and how much and all that. But I'm guessing that Mike got a pretty good ovation. And I'm guessing when Vrabel comes to town, he'll be treated like Vince Lombardi going back to Green Bay. People forget how it was at the end. They're just showing how frustrated they are with the current regime, if indeed the current regime with Brian Callahan is still in place.
We will find out for sure. We'll have more with John coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing our discussion with John McClain, brought to you by Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to wow. And John, looking around the NFL right now, did Cleveland win that game or did Green Bay blow it?
Boy, I think Flacco had a terrible game. I think, yeah, you got to give the Browns credit for winning that game. Nobody thought they would. Yeah, Jordan Love threw a terrible interception right when everybody was talking about Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. So I got to give credit to the Browns, especially their defense.
And then, I mean, Atlanta, that is not how I saw it. I didn't think either team was very good, but I didn't see Carolina hanging 30 on the Falcons.
And I think that Bryce Young threw for like 120 yards, something like that. That's got to be the low point for the Falcons for quite a while. Michael Penix did not play well. I think we talked about early in the year at some point Kirk Cousins is going to be playing. Look at all these second-year quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Look around the league. And it's what happened to C.J. Stroud last year. It happens to just about all of them. The defensive coaches have the entire offseason to watch every single play over and over and over so they see a different way to attack. And you better adjust or you're in trouble. Bobby Slowick didn't adjust for the Texans. He got fired. Now everybody's apologizing to him because Nick Caley's doing such a bad job taking his place. But there's a reason all these guys are struggling. Some of them will. C.J. Stroud still helped them go 10-7 and win a playoff game. It's hard to believe the team I saw the Texans beat in the wild card round, the Chargers here, are maybe the best team in the league right now. Chargers are playing great with all those division victories, but keep an eye on these second-year quarterbacks because coaches know if you don't adjust to what the opponent's adjusting to, you're in trouble.
Oh, no doubt. John, you saw the Buccaneers up close and personal a week ago Thursday, and just reading about Baker Mayfield, that team loves him. I mean, they love him. He made the comment yesterday after the game that was personal because Steve Wilks had cut him with the Jets, so, you know, he was upset. I like the fire out of him. I like what's happening there. Again, he's a great story. You saw them up close and personal. What'd you take away from watching that team when you saw them play Texans?
First of all, last week I was in Canton, Ohio, at Pro Football of Fame for 2 days working on our documentary about high school football in Texas before integration. And I had lunch, breakfast with a friend of mine, Tony Grossi, who covered the Browns for 40 years. And he said on Tuesday, all the conversations on the talk show was about, had Baker Mayfield stayed in Cleveland, would he be as good as he is now, or did he need to go to the Rams and the Panthers and then the Buccaneers? And the consensus was he would not have been as good as he is had he stayed there. Now, that's just, you know, who knows? But the fact is, at one point, he and Sam Darnold were backups at Carolina when Steve Wilkes was the coach. And Baker has found a home, and it's like he's had a different system for the third year in a row. And when they were here, I talked to a couple of people, and he said it's like Baker teaches the new OC every year the system. And the fact is, he's first quarterback in history to lead his team to a victory in the last minute in the first three games of the season, and they host the Eagles coming up, and what a big deal that's going to be in Tampa, because Baker right now, it's hard to find anybody you would pick and say is a better candidate for MVP than Baker Mayfield.
Oh, absolutely. John, Jacksonville. Tell me why I should like Jacksonville.
There's no reason. You know, they're not very good. They dropped six passes. They did everything they could, nine penalties, to help the Texans win the game. And there's no reason to like the Texans either, other than they've got a real good defense. But the defense made some mistakes, too. Trevor Lawrence did not play well. Liam Cohen, to me, did not distinguish himself with some of his decisions, and the Texans just flat blew that opportunity. Right now, the Colts ought to run away with this division. They may have it wrapped up by Halloween.
Russell Wilson with the Giants. I mean, my goodness. One week he looked all right. Last night he looked awful. How does this end, John? Does it end soon?
Well, most people said, Joe, it'd be four games in before Jackson Dart would get a chance. I understood. You throw for 450 yards against the Cowboys, and you lose at the end on a field goal, even though he had one interception in overtime, and it cost him the game. You don't pinch a guy just through for 450 and three touchdowns, but my God, they look bad. So I'm guessing one more game, and Brian Daboll right now, he is doing a terrible job. And I'd like to know, how do they justify letting Saquon Barkley go, telling him we don't want you? And then they not only let Saquon go, Daniel Jones, they let him go. And look how he's playing. It just magnifies what a bad job they've got. And I'm sure after the season, they'll start over with a new head coach and general manager.
You know what's funny about that, though? Is he not going to be one of those highly sought-after coordinators? I mean, because he was pretty good with Buffalo.
He was good with Buffalo. He was good with New England. He was good with Alabama. And usually those places have talent. But the talent they have, they haven't developed it or they haven't kept it. I don't know whose fault that is. I remember, I can't remember on Hard Knocks, there was a quarterback he wanted. He was lying on the sofa in GM Joe Shane's office, and quarterbacks' names were coming up, and somebody's name came up, and he said something like, boy, I'd like to get him, and he turned out to be really good. But it doesn't mean they wouldn't have blown it. But the Jackson Dart era has got to start soon. And people talk about bad things happening to quarterbacks, and yes, but sometimes learning experience, when you're learning the bad, it's almost as good as learning the good, because you learn how to handle it. You learn how not to do things and to bounce back. And if it shows in your play and you lose confidence, just go to the bench and let the backup play again until you're ready.
John, do you think Brian Flores is going to get another chance to be a head coach even after all the reputation stuff and suing the league and all of that?
Well, let me put it like this. If you were suing your company, would they hire you?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. I mean, look, the fact that he's even an assistant or a coordinator, I think, is, you know, pretty interesting. But
he does a really good job as a coordinator. And I remember one of their longtime beat writers who covered him while he was head coach of the Dolphins writing, if he gets another chance, he needs to take a serious look at his personality and the way he deals with people. And Flores admitted to it. Tagovailoa ripped him because of the way he was. And he admitted he made a lot of mistakes. The question is, will somebody else give him another chance? Maybe they will. But, boy, it's hard to hire a guy and say, well, you drop us from your lawsuit, we'll hire you. And I'm just thinking, when you're suing everybody, maybe if it's all over, he might have a chance. But right now, I just don't see it.
John, well, how come when we talk about bad franchises and bad teams, we never talk about the Jets? I mean, they've not been in the playoffs since, what, 09? They're 0-3 again this year. Everything they've done, it seems like, since Namath won Super Bowl III has been terrible. How come we never talk about them in that category of being bad?
Well, first of all, Joe, anytime you want to hear about the Jets, go to ESPN, turn on Get Up in the Morning, where Mike Greenberg's host, and you will hear about the Jets till you want to throw up. Mike Greenberg, when they got Aaron Rodgers, predicted they'd go to the Super Bowl. Then he wanted to cry on the air when Rodgers blew out his Achilles. Then he came back the next year, predicted Super Bowl. Then he wanted to projectile vomit. And after the first game, Justin Fields looked good. And all of a sudden, people are praising the Jets in a loss. And now they're just the typical Jets. The Giants and the Jets have not won a game. The Mets could miss the playoffs. The Yankees will get in, and up there they're going, thank God for the Knicks and thank God for the Rangers.
John, fantastic stuff, as always. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week.
I look forward to it, guys. Boy, it's going to be so exciting at NRG Stadium on Sunday.
Pack a lunch. It's going to be good. John McClain joining us here on the program.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, what would you rather do than watch a Titans-Texans game?
I would not. I want to see how much worse can it get?
Is it bad that I'm actively rooting for the Texans to win like 35-7?
Not at all. It's probably going to happen.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.